Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop and Johnny Cakes Auville. And joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, it's our pal JP Finley, covers the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington. What's up, JP?
Gentlemen, what's going on? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course, Mr. Finley. I saw that you were in with Chad Dukes. It was either yesterday or the day before, and you brought an assortment of fiery hot snacks with you. And I couldn't believe you brought the extra flaming hot crunchy Cheetos. Look, you know that those will send you to the hospital if you eat too many of those. What are you doing with your life?
You know, it's a weird afternoon whenever you end up there in the Fruitcake Emporium. And
it can be.
I mean, those guys, there's always a lot going on in studio and whatever Brock has packaged up. So I try to, you know, bring some snacks here and there. And those guys all love spicy stuff. And I actually liked the Cheetos. We tried a number of different spicy things, and the Cheetos were pretty good.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
We were talking about the Terps earlier, and I know you're supposed to be a Redskins guy, but you're a Terp. How do you feel about this team? Jason says he's nervous because they just don't shoot the three well.
I think Cowan and Sticks shoot it well enough that you need one other guy to shoot well. And some nights, like last night, I think the kid Scott hit a couple threes.
He did.
Ayala's been very touch and go behind the three-point line. But I just think they've shown a lot of heart on the road in some tough atmospheres that's impressed me. And I don't know that any team is really that good, maybe besides Gonzaga and Baylor. So I think if there's not at least, I'd like to at least get to the Elite Eight, get somewhere where Turgeon hasn't gotten before.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be a great run if they get to the Elite Eight. Absolutely.
The last time I was in Atlanta watching the Terps, I was 20 years old and they won a title. So I'm not ruling anything out.
Yeah.
The fact that it's back in Atlanta has me a little excited.
Oh, you're getting nostalgic. I like it.
I am. I really am.
Well, everybody's nostalgic, too, for when they were 20.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah.
Right, beyond the basketball,
year.
Nostalgic for when I was 20, regardless.
20 is just a great year.
The only thing I worry about is if they played a decent team last night, a good team on a neutral floor, let's say they play a 7 seed in a second-round tournament, and they played like they did last night and shoot the ball, they shoot 26% from three, they could lose that game very easily. So I get it. I mean, some of those guys can get hot and shoot it well, but they could have that one night. Or that one day where all of them are shooting 20% and you're going home.
For sure. And Lurch, hypothetically, I might have really liked Northwestern plus 14 last night.
Uh-huh.
But I think that the Nebraska game and the Northwestern game were kind of – Nebraska was way closer than it should have been, but they were kind of predictable, sandwiched in between big weekend games, home games that maybe you didn't get your best effort out of Maryland. They kind of thought they could win on a B game.
Yeah.
But certainly, I mean, we saw UVA a couple years ago. If you run up against any really hot shooting team, it might not matter who you are.
Yeah, I know. It's the only concern I have. All right, so Greg Olsen signs a one-year deal in Seattle. I know that he flirted with the Redskins. Jordan Reed, I guess, is kind of an unknown. I'm sure you can give us more info on that. But it's certainly a position of need, whether it's in free agency or in the draft. But talk about where they stand with Jordan Reed and beyond.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Reed is not going to be a part of this football team in 2020. Now, it's a matter of how they handle his release or if Reed retires or what might happen. News came out over the weekend from Charlotte that Ron Rivera kind of admitted for the first time that Jordan Reed's still in the concussion protocol from that hit he took last August in the preseason.
Wow.
And if no doctor is clearing him, no independent neurologist, it will allow him to get back on the football field. And we're talking 7-8 months later. I don't know that that's going to change by this fall. a lot of folks wonder if the Skins are allowed to release him in the concussion protocol. And the answer to that is yes. I mean, teams can cut hurt players. You saw the Seahawks do it with Richard Sherman a few years ago. Reed would probably be entitled to the injury protection clause in the CBA, which would pay him $1.2 million. And he could then be a free agent and try to sign elsewhere. I've heard some thought that maybe Jordan Reed wants a fresh start somewhere else. And if you just think about kind of the tone of how Ron Rivera has talked about the free agent position so far this year, is very different than it's been in the past. Rivera, speaking on the record at the Super Bowl, said, "We don't have our answer at tight end. Vernon Davis is retired, and Jordan Reed is just a significant medical question." And I think that's an honest approach, and I don't know how you can look at Reed's stats and production over the last 5 years and say anything but that. The team has to move on. I think Ron Rivera understands that. I do think they'd like to do it, kind of take the high road as much as they can, because this isn't like Josh Norman or Paul Richardson last week, where you had guys where the salary was just completely out of line with the production. I guess Jordan Reed's salary is out of line with his production, but it's due to injuries, not necessarily his play on the field. But they have to move on. Greg Olsen, people think the Olsen visit to the Skins was window dressing. I don't think so at all. I think he and Ron Rivera have a very real bond. I mean, both those guys got to Charlotte in 2011 with Cam Newton, built something big down there.
Oh, I believe
and,
that.
And, you know, it kind of fell apart over time. I think Olsen chose the Seahawks because he wants to chase a ring, and Seattle gives you a real chance at that, whereas the Redskins don't.
Well,
frankly,
let me ask you this, JP. Was there a legitimate offer to Olsen?
Don't know the answer to that. Oh, okay. I assume there was, but 5.5 guaranteed from Seattle's pretty significant cash when on a team you know is going to the playoffs. I mean, they go almost every year, and Pete Carroll's a great coach, and they've got a good defense. I just think that was that made the most sense outside of it being, you know, the Pacific Northwest and very far away from his family. I think the biggest thing for Redskins fans to keep in mind is I expect this team to make a very real run at a guy like Austin Hooper, the Atlanta Falcons tight end, who's going to be a free agent. By all signs, you know, there's some talk of if the Falcons would tag him or not. Mm-hmm. I don't expect that. The Falcons are in a lot of salary cap trouble on their own. They're probably bottom five in the league in cap space. So I think Hooper's going to get to the marketplace, and I think the Redskins will be at the top of the list of teams trying to get him in.
So Hooper's coveted. He's young. He's 25 years old. He's productive. He was one of Matt Ryan's favorite targets. But if they miss on him, if somebody else comes in at a higher number, give me another name or two who the Redskins might be interested in that tight end free agent market.
Well, I mean, the other biggest name is Hunter Henry from the Chargers. I don't think that's the right play for them because you don't want to get rid of a guy who was hurt all the time to bring in another guy who was hurt all the time. And I would think that would matter and that the organization would be looking at his medicals and all the time he missed for L.A.
Sure.
Eric Ebron is another name that has missed time and has had production in spots. He's a former first-round pick, I think, way back with the Lions.
He's sporadic, though. You're right about that.
I think you go all in for Hooper, or you kind of go the bargain route and you try to sign two or three tight ends and you draft somebody and you just try to come up with a good combination of players. Because if you look at some of these tight ends that have started to pop, you look at Jonnu Smith from the Titans.
Right,
or
right.
Who was the guy with the Raiders that had a really good year?
Oh, Darren Waller.
Right, like they don't have to be household names. Not to suggest it's become like running back where there's a number of players out there, but if you can get a few guys you like and see what works in your system, you know, tight end's not like wide out where you have to have – most teams have an elite guy that was drafted in the first or second round to be their star.
Joined by J.P. Finley, covers the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington. I don't know that I ever got a good answer on the communication between Trent Williams and Ron Rivera, and maybe you don't have the answer. What was the extent of it? We heard that they talked. Is that just a text message? Did they talk in person? Was it lengthy? What are the details, if you have any?
My understanding is that they talked on the phone and that they're looking to set up an in-person meeting. I don't believe – I mean, I'm sure over their years in football they met in person and spoken, but I don't believe as head coach of the Redskins there's been a sit-down, face-to-face meeting yet.
Hmm. All right, so now you're looking at all these mock drafts and, you know, we're weeks away from it, but the latest mock draft from Ryan Wilson on CBS Sports, we're actually going to talk about it here in the next segment, has them trading out of the two spot. Okay, so they pass on Chase Young because, you know, and it's a scenario that could happen. Someone gets really excited about Tua and they want to move up to get Tua, or maybe it's Herbert, whoever it might be, and they pass on Chase Young to get out of the two to acquire another first round pick. First of all, do you think that that's going to happen? I think Chase Young could be one of those once in a generation type players. I don't think you can pass on him, but Rivera's kind of already talked about Chase Young and pairing him up with the other Ohio State players they already have. But anyway, so do you think that they would do that to get more picks, or do you think Chase Young's the guy at two?
I think organizationally they really, really like Chase Young and really, really want Chase Young. I think you just drafted Montez Sweat last year in the first round. If you have that type of speed and athleticism and strength coming off both edges in a revamped 4-3 defense where Jack Del Rio is going to let his pass rushers rush the passer, which is a novel concept, I think it'd be hard for a defensive coach not to be really excited about that. Mm-hmm. All that said, if they get an offer that really wows them, I think the number two pick could be in play. And I do think, I've been saying this for weeks on our podcast, that Tua Mania is coming. I think by the time we get to late April, you're already starting to see it now. I saw a quote from Todd McShay yesterday that if Tua was healthy, he'd have him ahead of Joe Burrow. I think another Bucky Brooks, I think, an NFL Network analyst, mm-hmm. already has Tua listed higher on his QB board than he has Burrow. I know a number of scouts that midway through last year still thought Tua was the best, even though as Burrow was on this crazy run and just piling up touchdowns and pass yardage and everything else. So Tua's private workout is scheduled for early April. Assuming that happens and goes off without a hitch, yes, I think there are going to be teams going crazy for Tua. I think the Chargers and the Dolphins might be kind of pitted against one another. And the thing is, if one of those teams thinks all they have to do is move up to three, then somebody else is going to call about number two. It's just how these things are going to work. If you're willing to put a package together to move up from five to three and you're Miami, then you'd be crazy not to call about going from five to two to guarantee you get your guy or you get Tua or Burrow. That's the only way you lock that in. That said, I think the Skins really like the kid Jeff Okuda from Ohio State, the cornerback. Mm-hmm. So if they could move back and stay in that top five range where they think they could get him, I think it makes sense, but this team also needs elite talent. If there's one thing they've lacked, it's elite talent. They don't have an all-pro player since the mid-90s, I believe. So, or maybe it was the early 2000s. But they need blue-chip players, and I don't think you can get into a situation where you trade from 2 back to 11, and then you end up with like 11 and 25. I do still think they need a top five, top six guy, and to be able to identify who that player is and pencil them in as a starter from day one.
They also need receivers, by the way.
Yeah, they do. And I think there's some depth at the receiver position in this draft, which is really good for them. The one thing we know is Ron Rivera is not scared to play rookies, not scared to play young guys. So whoever they're bringing in needs to there's going to be an expectation of that player starting right away.
Mm-hmm. What do you think happens with Brandon Scherff?
There's growing sense that they'll use the tag to keep him, but I don't think he's going to play on a tag. I think he wants a deal. I don't think this will be similar to Kirk Cousins a few years ago, who would bet on himself and just ride out the tag. I think if they, I think by September, by the 2020 season, Scherff would have a multi-year deal.
Hmm.
He just doesn't strike me as the guy that wants to deal with this all the time.
Yeah.
And have the questions. And I mean, just last year when we had to ask him about the contract updates, he clearly wasn't a fan of it.
Right. What kind of different things, and you may not know the answer, but what kind of different things, kind of off the field chemistry or dynamic things is Rivera doing at Redskins Park that maybe other coaches hadn't done? Is he changing anything? I've heard some rumors over there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. You guys might know this one already, but when you walk into Redskins Park and you kind of just walk around the facility, mm-hmm. the front office is back and to the right,
right,
and the coaching offices are all back and to the left.
Okay,
and there used to be these doors, like kind of. You know, like the door to walk into the intercom offices where you have to put your badge in front of it and then the green light comes on and then you open it and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
Like those doors used to have that. So everything was cordoned off. And I guess the idea was, you know, the coaching office is private, the front office is private. And even going back to some of Jay Gruden's comments like 2 or 3 years ago, he would always say, we got to get the coaching and the front office on the same page because they're clearly not. Ron Rivera has just removed those doors. Like physically, those glass doors that you pull from the middle are just gone. So it's just open. And then the front office side, they were like heavier wooden doors, and they're just propped open all the time now. Like I haven't seen them close in the times I've been out there. And little things like that are kind of a big deal when you're talking about a new culture, player-centric, more transparency. If a player was coming upstairs to go meet with a coach, seeing how the players walk around the building, usually just in sweats and a T-shirt or you know, shorts and a T-shirt, whatever they're coming from the locker room in, and they have to get, like, buzzed into the coaching office, like, it's a different mindset. And then, you know, you guys know about the ping pong table and the shuffleboard table and all that stuff. Those are, like, little physical things. And then I think we're going to see some differences next week at the combine. You know, in the Bruce Allen era, most things were done kind of in secrecy for no real reason.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to just see a new level of transparency where Ron Rivera speaks at a podium like every other NFL coach except Bill Belichick. I mean, there's ways that every organization does this that the NFL prefers. And then there's the way the Skins have run things for the last decade. And I think you're just going to see kind of a more normalized structure from Washington going forward.
Yeah, I'd heard that, too, about him removing those doors. He's trying to promote, like, a camaraderie between the different departments.
Right, which makes sense.
Yeah. And that hadn't been done before. So, all right, interesting.
My understanding, at least leading up to their big February 10th, you know, once all the evaluations were done and they're kind of moving forward with this season, he and Kyle Smith and Rob Rogers were meeting at least once a day, often twice a day. I mean, there was a lot of communication between Ron and Kyle, kind of bridging that front office and coaching gap.
All right.
All right, JP, good stuff.
All right, buddy. We'll see you.
Thanks a lot, fellas.
Yeah, man. Talk to you soon.
JP Finley from NBC Sports Washington. When we come back, we will get into that Ryan Wilson mock draft, which has the Redskins trading out of that number 2 pick. Would you be okay with that? Passing on Chase Young to get more picks to rebuild the roster. 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. We wanted to get into the upcoming NFL draft. You're starting to get more buzz about the draft because you've got the combine coming up next week. And then once you get past the combine, the focus is on the NFL draft. And you're hearing more and more rumors. And the latest is this mock draft from Ryan Wilson from CBS Sports. And he does have the Redskins trading out from that number two pick to the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins' biggest need is at quarterback. And if they believe Tua is the answer, maybe they trade up. They've got the draft capital to trade up. They have them moving from number five to number two. The Redskins then would get their number 18 and number 39, their picks, which go number 18 and number 39, plus their number five pick.
Yeah. It's quite a haul if the Redskins were able to.
By the way, there's a new mock draft every single day.
Right. Of course.
These sites just want readers. All right? They want views. And there's 1,000 people who put them out there. But, I mean, it's certainly a possibility.
Would you be okay with that? I know you're not a Redskins fan, but would you be okay with it if you're the Redskins? I think I would be. Chase Young is tantalizing, and you just drafted Montez Sweat, and you think about going to the 4-3 and having those two guys just rush the passer with kind of the strength so far, the defensive line being what will be the interior with the two guys from Alabama and Matt Ioannidis. But if you're able to have the fifth pick overall, a second first-round pick, and then a high second-round pick.
I'd do it in a heartbeat. You're getting three of the top 39 picks in the draft to move down three slots. And I know that Chase Young is a guy that could come in and have double-digit sacks as a rookie and be like a game wrecker type of player, but I don't think I can pick up. I don't think I can pass up that package of picks.
It's a good return. I don't know. I mean, tough. On the surface, I say yeah, it's good because you need players, you need depth, but it kind of just depends on how those players, the futures play out. I mean,
sure.
If Chase Young becomes a Hall of Famer, then you missed out
then
on a great player.
You're going to regret it.
Yeah, but on the surface, it looks good, but if you can get that return.
If you move down and you pick his college teammate, Okuda, like J.P. Finley mentioned, you fill a major need there because the Redskins, they need a corner, and that's the best corner that's available.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're able to pick 13 picks later and maybe pick a wideout or another position of need, maybe an offensive lineman that slots into that spot, mid, late first round. I would do it. I would strongly lean towards doing it if that's the sort of package that's presented to them.
Again, let's see how good Tua Tag looks in these workouts.
Right.
If he looks outstanding and he's 100% and he looks like he hadn't missed a beat, then there's going to be a lot of teams that want to move up.
The Skins are praying that there's just a frenzy develops around him and his workouts and his health. The Skins they have their fingers crossed and they're praying he looks good.
Now, in his mock draft, Ryan Wilson, we've had Ryan Wilson on the show a bunch.
Sure.
And we should try and get him on again. But he's got like you said, the Skins trading with the Dolphins. They move back to five, and they take Isaiah Simmons out of Clemson. And I think Isaiah Simmons is a stud. Came into Clemson. Wasn't a highly recruited kid. Came into Clemson as a safety.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved him to linebacker. He's versatile. He's athletic. He's tall. He's long. He's really, really good. And then in that second first-round pick, they have him. The Skins taking Henry Ruggs out of Bama. They do need receiver help.
And he's a burner.
He can run. Now
dude,
he's small.
He's got some wheels.
He's a small kid, but he can run.
Yeah.
he can really scoot. But, yeah, I mean, like, on the surface, it's tough to turn that down, you know?
And then you'd have another pick early in the second round. And
because they don't have a second round pick.
They don't have a second round pick.
Yeah.
That was given up in the Montez Sweat deal.
All right, let's go to some Skins fans, 800-636-1067. You okay with this if it's presented to trade out of the number two and acquire more picks?
Let's go to Mo in Largo. What's up, Mo? Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes,
what's
sir.
Up, Mo? What's up, Mo? How come you never say good morning, fellas? Good morning. You usually double up on the good mornings, but you're only down to one.
The error of his ways.
Yeah, but I like it. That's like,
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess I can tailor back in here and there, but I don't know. I just kind of switched it up a little bit.
You do you, Mo. All right. Evolved.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, what are your thoughts on this?
I don't mind the theory of trading back. I mean, as much as I would love to get Chase, you know, a homegrown product and everything, I just don't feel like we're one player away. And if we can get a King's ransom for that second pick, because I think the closer we move to the draft, one, Tua will gain a lot more appreciation and notoriety for what his accomplishments were. And I think the quarterback out of Oregon is going to start getting a lot more hype too. So with that being said, it's going to be a lot more value placed on our pick, to the point where maybe we trade back and still can accomplish what we're looking to accomplish. So, but I mean, yeah, I like the kid out of Clemson. We just have so many holes on the team to where just one player is just not going to fix it. Mm-hmm. And one more thing, I think the term generational talent is a little overblown, because I feel like we say it every year.
Yes,
this guy's a generational
talent. I totally agree.
This guy's a generational talent. And I'm like, well, if Chase is a generational talent, well, what was Bosa last year? And then what was his brother a couple years ago? I mean, you know, who was Von Miller? You know, so it's a lot of guys out here that are extremely talented. But I think the term generational talent is getting overused tremendously.
All right, maybe I shouldn't use that word, but what I'll use is perennial All-Pro.
That's what he looks like.
All right, if you want to replace generational talent with perennial All-Pro, that's what I think Chase Young.
Here's the question: would you rather have
one
perennial All-Pro or three good contributors? So let's say those three picks, 5, 18,
and 39,
and 39 turn into a starter at corner,
right?
Not a Pro Bowler. So they get a corner, but he's going to be a starter,
okay,
contributor. A tight end, say desperately needs starter, again, not a Pro Bowler, contributor.
Okay. All right.
And then, I don't know, you can pick the third position,
an offensive
linebacker. Right? They need a linebacker, probably.
If Trent Williams doesn't come back, they need a tackle.
Right.
If those guys are solid starters for multiple years, I think it's probably worth doing.
Even if
none of them are Pro Bowlers.
I need all three of them to be starters.
See, what J.P. Finley said...
I don't need just contributors.
Right.
What J.P. Finley said in the previous segment, it does jump out at me, because I know I've been talking about this for years. They don't have the elite talent. They don't have the best of the best anywhere. And if you think you can... Even if it's just one guy, it's awful tempting to have somebody who you think could be the best of the best.
Right.
That can be a Von Miller type.
All right, let's go to Brendan in Richmond.
What's up, Brendan? You're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Guys, I'd be upset if they traded out. You don't pass on somebody who you think, and the rest of the world thinks, could be a Pro Bowler, Hall of Famer. The funny thing is, in other sports, like in the NBA, mm-hmm, you wouldn't even think about this. If somebody said, hey, I'll trade you 4 first-round draft picks for Giannis,
mm-hmm,
you wouldn't even bat an eye at it. But in the NFL, because there's 22 starters, we start thinking about all this stuff. You can get production in the second round and the third round and the fourth round, but you can't get a Hall of Fame pass rusher. When Lawrence Taylor went wherever the heck he went in the draft, and I'm sure it was high, nobody remembers who was the 5th pick, the 29th pick, the 30th pick. You can replace those guys. Look, we drafted Terry McLaurin in the third round. He's first-round production.
Yeah.
You don't pass up on that, and nobody would even think about it for a quarterback.
Yeah, well, like you said.
Well, outside quarterback, the pass rusher, that elite pass rusher is the second most important position in the NFL.
It is important, no doubt.
It's the most important position
in
the defense.
What if you think at number 5 you can get the best corner, and that corner you have graded as like a Champ Bailey-type corner?
Well, look, all I'm saying is when you put Chase Young with Sweat, think about what that's going to do for Sweat. And then to me, you should play John Allen more at defensive end to rest those guys, especially on running plays. I would just be disappointed. And if for some reason one of those first-round draft picks that we trade out for is Josh frickin' Doctson, then we're really going to regret it.
Well, of course.
Because you're rolling the dice the lower you get in the draft on these first-round picks.
I mean, I'm not saying this can happen with Chase Young, but that could happen with Chase Young, too. When Chase Young gets to the next level.
It's an interesting debate.
And all of a sudden, he's not special. What if he's not?
And that's what
right. You have to be sold that this guy is, like everyone said, better than the Bosas, better than we've seen in a decade. You have to be sold on the fact that he has the potential of Reggie White, Bruce Smith, LT. If he doesn't pan out, if he's good, if he's sheriff level, then obviously you would have rather had three first-round draft picks. But what I'm saying is, in the NBA, they would laugh at this argument.
Well, it's totally
different
sport.
Do it.
It's totally different sport.
Thanks,
NBA is more of an individual sport, and it's dominated by star players. NFL is a team sport, and you need multiple really good players to win Super Bowls.
All right, we'll take more of your calls next. 800-636-1067, the latest mock draft by Ryan Wilson from CBS Sports. Has the Redskins trading that number 2 pick overall for the Dolphins' number 5 pick? Their number 18 pick, so 2 first-rounders, and their number 39 pick, which would be a second-rounder, which the Redskins currently don't have. Would you do that if you're running the Redskins organization? We'll take your calls next here on the Junkies.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. I think it's an interesting debate we're having because kind of on the side of trade down, get 3 picks his team needs, corners, linebackers, they need everything. And you drafted Montez Sweat, pass rusher, last year, and you still could just bring back Ryan Kerrigan, old reliable Ryan Kerrigan.
Right.
And you should be fine there.
Should be okay.
Do you want to be fine?
But then part of me is like,
want to be really good.
Draft a stud. Get somebody who's elite.
It's tough.
Let me throw another scenario out there for you. Now, we've been talking about this with the Dolphins as a possible trade partner, right? I'm not so interested in trading with the Chargers just to get to 6 and maybe get a future number one and get a, you know what I mean? Like, I want 2 number ones in this draft.
That would be nice.
So, here's another question. Are you only doing it with the Dolphins?
Oh, no. You listen to anybody.
I know you listen, but do you want to do it with the Jags, who have 2 picks, but it's like 9 and 18 or 9 and 19, whatever it is?
I mean, 9 and 19 is kind of intriguing.
Okay, well.
You give me 9 and 19 and throw in, like, maybe a second or a third, and we're talking. We have the framework of a deal.
By the way, the wild card is, and this is an absolute wild card, let's say they love Tua.
Yeah.
The Redskins love Tua. Okay. They love Tua more than Joe Burrow. That, to me, would be the wild card. I don't think they're going to go in that direction. I think it's very unlikely. But if deep down, Ron Rivera, he likes Haskins okay, but he's not in love with him. It's not his guy.
But if he's blown away by Tua?
And he's blown away by Tua.
Well, that completely is a curveball.
If you rewind 4 months or 5 months, it was all about tanking for Tua.
Correct.
Of course.
And then people were talking about Tua the year before.
Correct.
That he was going to be the number one pick. And so if Rivera's on board with that,
it'll be interesting.
It's the wild card, but what if they pulled that
name?
And
then what if Burrow pulls an Eli and won't play for Cincinnati? Now, I don't think that's going to happen.
Right.
I'd still put my money on them drafting him, and maybe they draft him and trade him after the draft. Mm-hmm. But what if they say, all right, well, he's obviously not going to play for us. We're not. It's going to be tough to sign him, and they trade out of the one. And now you have more players for Tua.
Or they stay at one and just draft Tua.
Absolutely.
I mean, there are a million different things that could happen, that could unfold.
All right, back to the phones. 800-636-1067. Andre Manassas.
What's up, Andre?
Hey, I'm doing well, gentlemen. Yeah, I definitely think you don't trade the picks. I think JP said it well. You know, elite talent versus regular talent. I think the last time we had an elite talent era was Sean Taylor, and ever since then we've been trying to fill that gap with regular talent. Just hasn't proven to work.
But I think Taylor was drafted number five, right?
Yes.
So in
yes.
this scenario, you get the number five pick from the Dolphins. What if on their board they have Chase Young? Yes, he's an elite talent, but they have a corner who's also an elite talent, a Champ Bailey type.
Well, no, I wouldn't do that because here's why. I think a strong defensive line makes regular cornerbacks look even better when you have that constant pressure. And I think ultimately, I think that a lot of things fans aren't realizing. When you look down through the NFL history, not too many times where you have a bad defensive end pick. You look at all the defensive ends, Khalil Mack. I mean, he was scouted from Buffalo, University of Buffalo. He was like a fifth pick in the draft. So one thing NFL coaches know is how to scout defensive ends. And if they're saying this dude is legit, then 10 out of 10 times it feels like from a fan, they're correct when these guys are defensive ends are legit. Other positions, hit or miss. Defensive ends, they tend not to miss out. So I would take what the coaches say, elite defensive end talent, go ahead and draft it. Don't think about it because everything else is a hit or miss with cornerbacks and, you know, wide receivers and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well,
thanks,
we'll
Andre. The reason I would be hesitant is because a dominant pass rusher is just more impactful than a dominant corner. He just makes more impact on the game. Correct. On a play-by-play basis. So
Correct. That's
where I would be like, I would really like three picks here, but if this guy's going to be a perennial 13 to 15 sack guy, there aren't many of those guys around. There are like two or three of them playing in the NFL at any given time.
And if Sweat actually turned into what we think he could be, and you have two guys on the end
right.
that can really get after the quarterback, mm-hmm. you don't have to blitz as much.
And that just so frees up Payne and Allen right. on the interior.
Well, yeah, you rush four like the Niners did all year, and
right. Your
defense is much better because you can sit back and yep. do whatever you can get creative behind the first four. But, you know, if you don't have pass rushers, then you got to bring guys, and you're exposed.
Your dream scenario, if you're the Redskins, is that Tua balls out during these private workouts in April, yeah. right?
Yeah. Right.
Gets the Lions salivating and knowing that and getting worried that he's not going to be there at three.
Right.
And do what the Bears did with Trubisky, mm-hmm. trade up one pick. So you let Burrow go to the Bengals. Mm-hmm. You have them. You're on the clock at the Redskins. You have the Lions thinking you're going to trade to the Dolphins. They trade you a third, two-thirds, or a third and a fourth, whatever it is, just to move up that one spot to draft Tua. Then you go down to three, Chase Young, and you have your extra pick.
I like that. If you can play the Lions like that,
right.
and there's, you know, there are other teams that are vying for that spot, I love it. If you can move down one pick and accumulate extra draft capital, by all means do it. And still get Young at three,
yeah.
that's the dream.
That would be the perfect scenario.
They would love that,
absolutely.
I'm sure. Let's go to Ray in Temple Hills. What's up, Ray? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, fellas, what's going on? How y'all doing this morning?
What's up, man?
My thing is, let's look at it in a percentage type of thing. It's always better to have three top picks versus having one pick. Then let's say we get Chase Young, you know, he gets in the training camp and stuff, and, you know, hamstring starts to mess up or anything like that. Now we done, you know, wasted all this on one pick instead of let's roll the dice, let's have three picks. Mm-hmm. So if one goes down, we still got the other two. And then that way we can sign Sheriff, we can sign Trent back. And that's just my thoughts. I mean,
but
I don't
Trent
know. That's
signed,
just my thoughts.
By the way. They just need to figure out
right,
a way for
right.
him to choose to play
yeah.
for him.
Yeah.
Right. No, I mean, well, you know, you an extension, I mean. I'm sorry, Trent, an extension.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they're going to work on that. No, that's a good point. You know, anybody can get hurt. You know, any guy can get hurt. All three of your guys can get hurt if you draft them. But it's an interesting scenario just based on team needs and what does Rivera really want.
How has I was just looking at some of the past drafts. Jason, you're a Niners guy. How has Solomon Thomas been for the Niners?
Mm,
He was the number three pick in the draft in 2017.
I would say underwhelming, but he had a pretty good year this year. Now, he was surrounded by a lot of really good defensive linemen. But for a guy who was drafted so high, I would say underwhelming, but
probably expecting more.
These people who say it's a guarantee that Chase Young comes in here and is a 13-sack guy, there's no guarantee at all. He could be a Solomon Thomas. Number three pick.
I would say he's going to be better because he was just a better college player.
I think my NFL...
And of his size and speed, too.
It'll be the 2020 season, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
My bold prediction will be that Chase Young will have 25 sacks. I love to overhype these young pass rushers.
How many did you have for Sweat? Your bold prediction was like 15 for Sweat?
No. It wasn't that crazy. Like 11 and a half or 12. I mean, he got 7. Yeah. It was close. 800-636-1067 is the number. Should the Skins stay at 2 and take Chase Young or deal the pick away for extra draft capital? Let's go to Lucas in Leesburg. What's up, Lucas?
Nada, Junks. Good morning.
What's up, man?
Hey, I just don't think you can discount the risk of injury here. I mean, you look at the production in the last few years we got out of the first-round draft picks, and a lot of those guys are missing time due to injuries. And kind of like the last caller said, I mean, if you can stay on the field, he might be good for 10, 11 sacks this year. But, I mean, given our history, there's no chance that's a given. And why wouldn't you take two extra first-round picks or, you know, two first-round picks and a second to make up for that just to ensure that production on the areas where you need it? I mean, I just don't see putting all the eggs in the Chase Young basket to watch him get injured the second or third week.
Any player that you pick can get banged up or injured. I think you just have to put that aside. If you feel like he's the best player and you're not going to get a chance at a player like this in another decade, you probably just make the pick.
But is that true? Yeah. I agree with Mo. The generational talent thing is so overused. So 2 years ago, the 2018 draft, the number five pick was Bradley Chubb. Uh-huh. And his first year was really strong. I think he had 12 sacks. Last year, injuries.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure 2 years ago, people were talking about Bradley Chubb like he was. We're talking about Chase Young. I mean, he was the top defensive lineman taken.
True, but I don't think anybody had Bradley Chubb as the number one prospect in the draft. You look at a lot of the prospect rankings, Young's at the top, even ahead of Burrow.
Okay, maybe.
I'm not saying he's going to be LT. I'm saying I think he's going to be very, very good. But there's always a chance he's going to be underwhelming. But I think, depending on what the haul is, if you can get the Dolphins to be a player, I'd say, I'm really going to listen seriously. But any of those other teams, I'm not so
Callers
excited
are pretty
about
split. It seems like
it's a tough decision.
Pretty down the middle.
All right, we're going to talk more NFL next. Will Brinson covers the NFL for CBS Sports. He'll join us. We'll get into Drew Brees, the quarterback carousel, and more here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.